Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome, everybody, to the Water Cooler. I'm David Brody. Glad you're with us. It's Thursday, October 15th. I've got one word for you to begin this show. Bloviate, as in lots of senators bloviating today at the final day of the Amy Coney Barrett hearing. Of course, we know the definition of bloviate, right? According to Webster's, at least, it means to talk at length, especially in an inflated or empty way. And look, folks, that's pretty much how this week ended for Democrats, empty and deflated. They did delay the vote on Barrett for a week, but come on, so what? This thing looks signed, sealed, and delivered. The big story, though, around the water cooler today is censorship. That New York Post story on Hunter Biden getting censored by Twitter and Facebook. Good luck trying to post it. Like Kayleigh McEnany, for example, the White House press secretary who had her personal Twitter account blocked when she posted it. And then the Trump campaign had their Twitter account blocked as well. What in the world is going on? Also, early voting. Americans are already going to the polls. Enthusiasm is up big time in 2020 compared to 4 years ago. So who does that help or hurt? We're going to break it all down. First, though, to our newsmaker. Let's bring in Mercedes Schlapp, senior advisor for the Trump campaign, 2020 campaign. Mercedes, hey, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Well, we got to start off with this social media censorship of the Hunter Biden story. I mean, can you take us through all of this? Because I know the campaign's Twitter platform was blocked earlier. What's the latest? What's the TikTok on that?
Well, I got to tell you something, David. I think that the mere fact that these social media giants can almost take this approach like they do in countries like China, where they could basically decide what is what's a news story or not a news story is outrageous, especially when they're going after not just the Trump campaign and our press secretary, Kayleigh McEnany, but also the New York Post, which we know is a respected publication. They broke this blockbuster story on Hunter Biden, where they had one of his emails basically alongside with this advisor on the Burisma advisory board, and they basically saying, looking forward to meeting your father, Joe Biden, and thank you for setting up that meeting. And so so it's interesting to watch the Biden camp. I mean, it's like they're sweating right now. They literally have not denied the authenticity of the email. They have not denied the fact that that Joe Biden met with this executive. And so it really raises these questions about the ultimate corruption coming because of Hunter Biden's very sleazy deals with not only the Ukrainian company Burisma, but also the Chinese business deals that he's had, the Russian deals that he's had. It just raises a huge red flag. And my guess is that the mainstream media will likely not even ask Joe Biden a tough question about this.
Well, speaking about the mainstream media and tough questions, what do you expect at the town hall, the ABC, NBC kind of competing town halls, Trump versus Biden on two separate networks? What do you believe will be what we'll be talking about tomorrow morning on all of this, Mercedes?
Well, I think that when it comes to the ABC town hall, if it's anything that we saw with former town halls, with Joe Biden, they have a lot of these quote unquote undecided voters that end up being Biden supporters, which we find incredibly troubling. And then when you look at a presidential town hall with President Trump, they find the toughest anti-Trump people that are quote unquote undecided voters. It shows once again the incredible media bias of how they have tried every step of the way to stop President Trump and to protect Joe Biden. So look, I hope that ABC they'll ask the tough questions of Joe Biden. Will they ask the questions tonight about whether he lied about his dealings with Hunter Biden and Burisma in his involvement in this matter? Are they going to ask Joe Biden the tough questions about court packing, where they kind of dance around this issue. Kamala couldn't answer it during the vice presidential debate, but no one pushed her on it except for the vice president. And then also Joe Biden basically saying that the American people don't deserve to know his answer on packing the court, which would fundamentally change a historic institution, the Supreme Court, so that they can ram through their far left agenda, because that's exactly what Joe Biden has signed up for, which is that of aligning himself with the socialist branch of his party to fundamentally, as they have said, transform the United States.
Mercedes, I want to ask you about early voting. So far, at least, records through the roof. I'm not talking about mail-in voting. I'm talking about people lining up as well. I mean, this seems like there's a lot of enthusiasm out there. What is your sense? What does that mean for the Trump campaign? Because the way the New York Times and other media folks are spinning this is that, oh, that means Democrats are ready to vote this president out. And they say it's 2-1 Democrat in terms of voter registration and all that good stuff, or all that bad stuff, I guess.
Well,
depends.
Well, I got to tell you, I think our ground game is one of the most sophisticated ground games that I've seen in Republican politics. We've signed up over 2.4 million volunteers. This week alone, we knocked on over 2 million doors, made over 6.5 million phone calls, and we've registered more voters in the past 7 weeks than we ever did in 2016, especially in states like Pennsylvania. The enthusiasm is real for the president. What you're going to start seeing, and we're starting to see this already, is that the mainstream media is going to be starting to push this narrative that the race is over, that Biden is winning. So to demoralize our voters. And I go out there across the country. I've traveled, I think, to almost every single targeted state. And what I see on the ground are activists, grassroots individuals, people who had never been in politics before, but because they love Donald Trump, because they know what's at stake in this election, they have gotten it involved. They are knocking on doors. They are making phone calls. While Biden is throwing up a lot of money on advertisements, we're focused on the ground game and ensuring that we are able to contact these voters, really talk to the undecided voters, and bring them to our side. And in addition to that, President Trump obviously has the busiest campaign trail schedule. I mean, Joe Biden calls a lid at about 9:30 a.m. while the president has finished his like second rally of the day.
Mercedes, I want to put up a New York Times headline. It's actually an op-ed written by Tom Setzel. And here it is. It says, Biden is not out of the woods. Unanticipated electoral developments are affecting both presidential campaigns in surprising ways. And it talks specifically about some of the concerns the Biden campaign should have when it comes to white working class voters. Is that the key to all of this, especially from the not just Hispanics, because that's obviously Hispanic Catholic, but white Catholics as well? It just seems like they are a make or break subset group, if you will, for the Trump campaign.
You know, that's actually an interesting analysis. Obviously, we're working very hard to reach out to the Catholic voters, to evangelicals in these key states. We have the Catholics for Trump, the Evangelical for Trump's coalition. They're out in full force. We are talking about the president's strong record of protecting religious liberties, of being the voice and the defender of the unborn, and what the president has done in the last 3.5 years to focus on defunding Planned Parenthood. And so our goal is to continue to talk about that message and contrast that with Joe Biden's extreme positions, whether it be his changing his position on the Hyde Amendment, allowing for taxpayer abortions, to supporting late-term abortions, which we know is part of this extreme agenda that the Harris-Biden presidential ticket is pushing. So we feel that it's not just about the Catholics and the evangelicals, the white working class. We feel very strongly we are making inroads with the Latino community, with the Black community, many of them who really want to see economic opportunity and empowerment, something that the president has delivered on in the past, something we know the president's working on now to rebuild a strong economy.
Mercedes, I want to circle back to the censorship issue I brought up at the top, just to be clear. Do you believe that does the Trump campaign believe that Twitter and Facebook are purposely censoring or targeting the Trump campaign?
I believe yes. The answer is absolutely yes. I think that there are those people within those organizations, which even you saw Jack Dorsey come out and say that they botched the communication on this article. But there is clearly a bias on the fact that they will censor us more than they ever do the left. Let's bring up the Steele dossier. Let's remember that this was a false document that was basically commissioned by the Hillary Clinton campaign that the Twitter or Facebook never, ever censored. And they allowed this to go on for months and months and months without stopping it. Let's talk about the fact that they allowed for the New York Times story about the president's tax returns, which we know that the New York Times obtained those documents. The person who gave it to them obviously committed a felony. You can't do that. And yet they don't care. Twitter and Facebook allowed the story to obviously get spread through social media. And then when it's something about Joe Biden and Hunter Biden, you see the censorship. You see the fact that they try to stop this newspaper, try to make it sound like it's shady or not correct, or they are going to fact check the story. Give me a break. They never fact checked the Steele dossier. They never fact checked half of these stories from the New York Times and the Washington Post regarding the Russian hoax. And they should be ashamed of themselves. That's why they deserve to lose their immunity. We need to repeal 230. And that is something that we know that you'll see Republican senators move on shortly.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, because I know Senator Ted Cruz made some comments, and I know Senator Josh Hawley, they want to bring Twitter CEO and basically subpoena him in Congress there. Real quick, I got about 20 seconds or so. The Supreme Court, do you think this is going to the Supreme Court? Do you think we're going to have a decisive result on the morning of November 4th?
Look, I really do believe that the enthusiasm on the ground for this president is real. We are what you see compared to Joe Biden's campaign. They're barely out in force in any of these targeted states or doing these virtual events. They're really not gaining any traction.
Yeah.
I do think we're going to win in a landslide. I do think we're ready to get to that 270. That's the big mark,
thanks,
obviously.
Mercedes.
And we've got several pathways to get there.
Appreciate it. Up against the hard break, but always great to see you. We'll be back in a moment.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Welcome back to the water cooler, everybody. Look, if you listen to evangelicals explain it, they believe Donald Trump has been put in office for such a time as this. They believe it's God ordained. And now with the election just a couple of weeks away, evangelicals are praying up a storm as they pray for a second term as well. Joining me to talk about some of those efforts is former Republican Congresswoman and presidential candidate Michelle Bachmann from the great state of Minnesota. Congresswoman, thanks for being here.
David, it's always a good day when I can be with you.
Oh, and in studio too, for sure. It's been a while. I want to ask you a little bit, where do I even begin? Let's talk with, you know what, President Trump would want us to start with him. I'm sure he would. So tell me about what you think could potentially happen on Election Day. A lot of people are predicting Biden's going to win, and a lot of people are predicting Biden's going to win in a landslide.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. The enthusiasm just isn't there anywhere in the country for a Biden-Harris ticket. And now with this bombshell report that came out of all of the emails and all the information on Hunter Biden's computer, every day it's new information about problems with China, problems with Ukraine. It's not going to happen. But talking about President Trump, I think what we're praying into and asking the Lord for is a decisive victory on election night, which there's no reason why we shouldn't have one. People from the likes of Jack Dorsey of Twitter to Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook, they're all trying to manage our expectations and tell us that it's completely normal that we shouldn't have any election result for weeks and weeks and weeks. And they're involved now and invested in this delay campaign campaign because they want to run the clock out. They want President Trump to move out of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue on January 20th because what they want more than anything is to win back the White House. And it means literally at all costs. And they've been willing to violate the United States Constitution by having judges and secretaries of state and governors from the various states change election law, which is a violation of the Constitution under Article 1, Section 4. Mm-hmm. Only state legislatures can change election law. But there's really a trifecta that's been put into place, David, and it's this. It's this these radical changes to election law, which weren't done through a state legislature, which means they're unconstitutional. That'll be litigated over months, maybe even years. Mm. So you have that, plus you've got the tech censorship of Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all the rest. So they are keeping out any information from the marketplace. And then the other thing is you've got cheat by mail voting. And right. that is really, that's the whole game. Because, you know, in traditional elections, we have persuasion. That's what's really, you're selling a product to mm-hmm. candidates mm-hmm. and to political party platforms. And the Republicans have been going down that road of persuasion. The Democrats are focusing on process. And process is completely cheat by mail voting.
I heard you say cheat by mail.
Yeah.
That's a term.
Well, that's what it is. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. It's cheating by mail because, again, what they're doing is they're having states just give send unsolicited ballots to everyone's home in a state, whether they solicited them or not. And so, like, I'll give your viewers my example. Yeah. At my house in Minnesota, we had 12 ballots show up at my house. There are two people who live in my home. So people could conceivably contact the state of Minnesota and say, 300 people live in my house. Mm-hmm. I need to have 300 ballots. And the state of Minnesota would say, sure. Why? Because our Secretary of State had a conversation with himself, and he independently changed voting law in Minnesota 2 days before the election started. Mm. And so in our state, you don't have to have a witness or a notary. You don't even need to have a postmark. Mm-hmm. And so you can get ballots in up to 8 days after an election. So what that meant is that the Democrats are trying to have chaos and confusion to ensure we won't have an election mm-hmm. result November 3rd. But that's why so many people like myself have come into Washington, D.C. and in their homes across the United States. Mm-hmm. They're praying
yeah.
because we believe in the power of prayer. We mm-hmm. believe that God has blessed America. And so we're asking God to bless America again in this election and reelect Donald Trump because he has acted more biblically, even though he's a very unlikely president to do that. Yeah. He's actually enacted more things that are truly biblical than any other president I know of, including our beloved Ronald Reagan.
I'm sure you could go for a while on some of the prayer initiatives that have been going on in the last few years with this president. Can you give us a sense of what some of what you've been doing, not behind the scenes, but very, very important work as it relates to the faith-based portion of this with the administration and people praying alongside this president?
Well, it's true. There's a lot of believers that are very grateful, and doesn't matter which political party is in office, they still pray because the Bible says pray for those who are in authority, and that's what we do. No matter if they're, quote, our guy or not our guy, we pray for them. We pray for the country, the economy, the people in the country, the needs that come up in the country. And what we're asking for now, the Bible says when the righteous rule, people who put things into effect that are righteous, the people rejoice. Things go well. It certainly did under President Trump. But when the wicked rule, the people mourn. So if unjust laws go into effect, for instance, or unjust outcomes, then it doesn't go well for people. So we're praying for the righteous to rule.
About a minute and a half or so left. I want to ask you about Minnesota. You're the great state of Minnesota, your state. The president wants to win Minnesota. What does he have to do to win that state? And I am curious about, look, the changing demographic in that state. I mean, that I know there's a concern. Ilhan Omar has really kind of resonated with certain people in that state, and I'm just wondering what you make of
well, the
of
biggest
the challenges
concern,
there.
I'll tell you, David, is cheat by mail voting, and it's on tape. Any of your viewers can go to mm-hmm. projectveritas.org, and it's right there. Mm-hmm. It's actually on tape where Ilhan Omar's people are handing somebody $200 in exchange for a single vote. Now, it used to be a pack of cigarettes for a vote. Now it's $200. $1,000. I will tell you from my perspective, that tells me that you've got foreign influence money, maybe from Qatar or some other country, but there's money passing on the street. So go to projectveritas.org. I think if we get a true vote in Minnesota, Donald Trump will win, no question. Mm-hmm. It's the cheap by mail voting in Minneapolis, and that's why we're praying. But we also have people, we have to have people go to these polls, watch the polls, look for the funny business, and then call. Call the Republican Party, call not the Secretary of State's office, because it's, from my perspective, they're in on it. Mm-hmm. But I think we can win, and I think the way we do it is, number one, everybody has to vote. So mm-hmm. vote. Tell everyone in your sphere of influence to vote and actually get out and really do vote. Don't say you voted, actually vote in person.
30 seconds. So you believe that Minnesota can be a game changer?
Because 100%.
That makes
that's 10 electoral votes. There's no question President Trump can win Minnesota. He is loved in Minnesota, rural Minnesota, mm-hmm. but elections are stolen in Minneapolis. And we have the proof already on tape. Mm-hmm. This isn't slander. This isn't defamation. Look at projectveritas.org. You'll see it. It's on tape.
Michelle Bachmann, always great to see you.
But I have great hope. And prayer.
I'm sure you do. You always do, don't you? It's so great to see you.
Good to see you, David.
All right. I think of the campaign trail when I see you all the time. Presidential campaign trail. All right. When we come back, boy, I tell you what, Twitter, Facebook, they're at it again, as we've been talking about all show. Robbie Starbuck, a filmmaker, director, producer, going to be here to talk about everything that's been going on, and it is nasty. Back in a moment.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery. Starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Welcome back to the Water Cooler. All right, let's delve into this censorship that we've seen on Twitter and Facebook regarding this New York Post story on Hunter Biden's emails. Twitter says they have to fact check the story, right? So until then, they're going to block it. Give me a break, folks. Look, there's something that doesn't need a fact check. And here's what it is. The actual emails. They're in the story. This isn't page 6 in the New York Post talking about the latest gossip. That's like one page in the paper. They have the emails, for goodness sake. And anyhow, I don't even know what to say anymore. Anyway, for more on all of this, I want to bring in producer, director, filmmaker, political commentator, Robbie Starbuck, who's been shouting from the rooftops about this type of censorship for a very long time. Robbie, thanks for being here. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, David. Happy to be here and expand on exactly what's going on, because this is such a critical subject right now before the election.
Yeah, let's expand on it, because you could say I told you so, right? This is where you say, because you've been talking about this for a while. What do you make of this latest provocative act by Twitter and Facebook?
You know, saying I told you so, some people would think would feel good, but it really doesn't. I would rather the right actions be taken, because what they did essentially just now is, I want you to imagine that our press secretary was on the phone discussing a matter critical to national security or critical to the president's agenda. And the phone company, let's say Verizon, just shut her phone off, shut off the call, and then shut off her ability to make other calls for, let's say, 48 hours to teach her a lesson, essentially put her in timeout and say, you know, we don't like what you were talking about. That's what social media is doing right now. And if you can't see the implications and the danger in that, then you're just not living in this century, because our elections can be won and lost on social media. And you could argue in 2016, Trump would not be in the White House right now had he not had the social media just dominance that he had. And what we've had seen since then is big tech planning behind the scenes, do everything they can to elect a Democrat in 2020. And that's what you're seeing right now. And I warned as recently as 5 days ago that this was coming. Okay, but we've been warning, my wife and I, for years about this. And if people think this is bad, that they're censoring the New York Post, third largest paper in print in circulation, this is nothing. What they're going to do on Election Day and after Election Day is just beyond anything you can imagine.
Well, let's break some of that down. I want to get to Election Day in a moment, but you mentioned the word planning, that they've been they plan this. What do you mean when you say plan? Are you talking about like algorithms, Google searches? Are you talking about people themselves that are making conscious decisions against this president, this administration? What exactly are you referring to?
Yeah, what's interesting here is, you know, I think the stuff that people can see, like them censoring the New York Post story, is actually probably just the tip of the iceberg in terms of what the real problems underneath the cover of this could be. And that's that you look at algorithms, you know, there was a whistleblower who was actually a Hillary Clinton supporter, Dr. Robert Epstein, no relation to the other Epstein. And he actually showed that Google has the power to flip in the tens of millions of votes just through their algorithms. So Google didn't harness that power in 2016 the way they could have. Now, in 2020, what oversight do we have that Google's not using those algorithms right now to flip this election? We have essentially none, but we can tell you that certain things have changed. The stories that show up, you know, in the news feeds on Google have totally changed. They've totally recalibrated. They have different fact checkers now. So pretty much any news that is right of center is now being suppressed on Google in terms of their search results. Now, beyond that, anything pro-Trump or positive Trump accomplishments or anything like that is downgraded in their search algorithm. That's apparent to anybody who just searches Google and can see the difference between 2016 and 2020. So those things are actually probably the most damaging. But in terms of what they're willing to do, you know, the suppression methods they have just of being able to have you essentially shut down and people not be able to see your message without you even realizing it is immense. They, you know, on one hand said they didn't what's called shadow banning, but we now have proof that they've done that.
Robbie, what can be done by average Americans, if you will, and also by the legislators? Because I know Senator Cruz and Senator Hawley today talked about, and they're apparently going to subpoena Jack Dempsey over at Twitter. So what is your sense about what can be done from a legislative standpoint and also just from a regular, ordinary American standpoint?
Yeah, so I love Ted Cruz, love Hawley. You know, Cruz is a fellow Cuban American like me, so I've got a lot of love for these guys. I'd say Hawley understands big tech in general better than anybody in the Senate. But there is an issue here. Next Friday is when they're talking about subpoenaing him, and I think that that's far too late. Far too late. We need to get this on the books as soon as possible, and if they can push that sooner, they need to, because we're 19 days from Election Day. And a subpoena is not going to scare them off from what they're doing. We need to go much further than that. So step one is, for average people, reach out to Senator Wicker's office. Okay, Senator Wicker. He has the ability to get Nathan Symington confirmed to the FCC. That's huge. He could be the deciding vote on what happens with Section 230. Section 230 is what tech companies, essentially social media companies, have been hiding behind for the past, you know, 5 years, saying that they're not actually publishers, they're just a platform. They are publishers, they prove it every day, they're editorializing every day. You need to look no further than what they did yesterday or what they're doing in the trending tabs, controlling trending topics to suppress things that could be positive for the president.
So Section 230, and we've talked a little bit about it before, but that's a game changer in your view as it relates to how Twitter, Facebook, and these social media companies are treated.
Yep. And getting Nathan Symington confirmed is huge, because we need that deciding vote to be able to actually take action on Section 230. So, you know, that's one thing. Everybody who follows me knows I'm very critical of the Democratic Party, but sometimes we have to go after our own people and put a fire under them. And with Senator Wicker, you know, he's been slow walking this, you know, and I can't give you a reason for why, but we need this desperately. We could be looking at a generation of Republicans losing if we allow big tech to do this, steal the election, flip it to Biden, and then Biden and a Democrat majority in the Senate and the House take action that actually, I think in reality, big tech will be regulated, but they want to be regulated by the Democrats, because they're going to do it in such a way that it fulfills their ideological spin on what our country should be like.
Robbie, I got 30 seconds or so here. What do you think might happen after Election Day? You mentioned something earlier in the interview about concerns about what Twitter and Facebook could be doing after the election happens, or even during the election. What's your worst case scenario here? 30 seconds or less.
So they quietly instituted new rules allowing them to essentially on election night, if you say, if it looks like Trump won that night and you say Trump won the election, he was reelected, they could not only suspend your account, they could ban your account, but they'll definitely be hiding what you say. And those are new rules they instituted. You're not allowed to say that Trump won. You're not allowed to make any proclamations or try to get people out to do anything or protest. If in fact that's what happened. So these rules could apply to every in media and your average normal person. So be aware of that. Raise your voices now. You're not going to have them heard then.
You're great. Up against the heartbreak. Love to have you on next time as well. Back in a minute. Welcome back to the water cooler, everybody. All right. Look, he is, boy, so many different things. I mean, he is a Navy SEAL, a former governor. He's done so much under the sun. And now he's anchoring a new show coming to Just the News right here on Real America's Voice. It's called Actionable Intelligence. Joining me now in studio, in person. Eric Reitens. Eric, great to see you.
David, honored to be on with you. It's really cool. The water cooler's taken off, man. It's a great show. It's a great show. The people who we've been talking with are saying they're watching, they're tuning in. You guys are having a lot of fun.
Well,
it looks great.
We've really enjoyed it, and I'll just let my family's not watching, but that's okay. No, I'll tell them to watch. All right, so let's talk about this new show. Tell us what to expect, and this is going to be a big deal.
So Actionable Intelligence is starting on Real America's Voice, just like the water cooler. This big partnership between Just the News and Real America's Voice. And people can watch it every night at 6 p.m. Eastern. It's going to be on every night at 6 p.m. Eastern. And of course, we're going to put clips out on social media so people can get the latest. But really, what you're going to get every night is that you're going to get news. You're going to get insight into what's happening, insight that matters to you. And you're also, I think, and I hope, every day, going to leave with a real sense of hope. I mean, this is a country that was founded on and has been held together by the incredible courage of so many Americans over generations, and it's still there. The mainstream media doesn't often cover it, but we're going to shine a big, bright spotlight on it that I think is going to help people leave and walk away with a real sense of hope.
You know, you are a Navy SEAL, not a former Navy SEAL.
Right.
I will never say that, though I kind of just did, but I didn't mean it. Look, you're a Navy SEAL and Actionable Intelligence. Tell me a little bit about kind of the DNA of the title and where you're coming from on it, because what did Actionable Intelligence mean as a Navy SEAL in terms of how this show might come to fruition and come about?
So look, the idea of a Navy SEAL is that you're a sea, air, and land commando. You're part of America's Special Operations Forces. And one of the great honors of being in that community is that you work with incredible men and women, just some of the very best men and women from this country. And you're put in place and asked to do some incredible things. Well, the fact is Americans across the country, every day, they're facing challenges. They've got missions in front of them. They've got things that they need to attack. And the idea behind Actionable Intelligence was that as you're facing a mission, as you're facing a challenge, this was intelligence that wasn't just given to you about something that might be happening in the world. This was stuff that could help you to achieve your mission. In the same way, we want to be able to bring people a perspective on the world. That, of course, we're going to bring them the headlines and the big news, but we're also going to bring them insight. We're also going to show them how their fellow Americans are attacking, dealing with, and overcoming real problems. Mm-hmm. And we're going to bring them a sense of hope. Yeah. I think one of the things you've been talking about on the show and that we've found, too, is that this is a tough time for a lot of American families. True. And what we know, certainly you learn going through the SEAL teams, is that, you know what, on the other side of pain, there is wisdom. Mm-hmm. On the other side of suffering, there is strength. If you deal with fear in the right way, you can actually build courage. And so one of the things that we want to do is bring that same sensibility into people's homes and share some time with them every evening. And we're really looking forward to it.
Well, you know, not just with the Navy SEAL background, but as a former governor in Missouri, it just seems to me that you have not just military experience, but with government experience, and to be able to kind of explain to folks how they can be actionable in their own lives based on some of the experiences that you've had and kind of bring all of that kind of full circle.
You know, I have been really blessed in my life, David, to have had some opportunities to do some incredible things in service, you know, in the Navy SEAL teams, as a governor, did a lot of humanitarian work overseas, worked with people who'd lost their homes, worked with people who were hungry, worked with people who were facing disease and deprivation. And in all of these situations, what I was blessed to do was to work with some great teams who found ways, no matter how hard the situation was, to make it through. And we want to bring that same sensibility. Again, I'll use my experience, but I'm also going to bring in a great team of people, just like we solved every mission in the SEAL teams doing humanitarian work as governor. It takes a team. And so on Actionable Intelligence, what you're going to see, certainly they'll see me every night, but they're also going to see a lot of the folks who we're going to bring in, and we're going to have some great guests.
Yeah.
We're going to have other Navy SEALs, Green Berets, Rangers. We'll have some MMA fighters. We'll have moms who are doing incredible things in really difficult situations in homeschool environments. We're going to bring people real stories that, again, I think are going to help them to leave with a sense of hope.
Now, you have a lot of experience, and you know, here at the Water Cooler, we do our research. And we know that there's more experience that you have, including Hollywood. Have a look. This is your life, Eric Rittens.
I'm Eric Rittens. I'm the founder and CEO of The Mission Continues.
Instead of doing that thing that a lot of movies tend to do, which is when the movie's done, you sort of kind of connect it with an organization.
I mean, there you are. Can you tell us about that Star Trek? I'm sitting with a movie star.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. But first, we had a lot of fun. You saw there J.J. Abrams, the director of Star Trek.
Yeah.
Great honor. He wanted to use, there's all of this promotion around big movies.
Yeah.
And he said, let's take an opportunity to use all of this press and publicity for a good purpose. And he wanted to help to honor and support this generation of veterans. Mm-hmm. When I came back from Iraq after my team had been hit by a suicide car bomb, and I worked with a lot of returning wounded and disabled veterans. JJ reached out to us. He asked us if I would bring a team of returning wounded and disabled veterans to actually be part of the show. And it was so much fun, David. One of the greatest experiences to be there. One of the guys who you just had on that tape there, the day he was filming, he's in the Star Trek movie, he's part of the Honor Guard, was what we call Your Alive Day. It was the day 3 or 4 years after he'd been hit severely by a suicide truck bomb in Iraq. And I said to him, I said, did you ever imagine that 4 years later you'd be here on the Hollywood set of Star Trek? And it's another wonderful indication of the way that, like, good people find ways to do courageous, compassionate, and fun things together. That was a ton of fun. We had a really good time.
I got about 30 seconds or so, but it really does seem like people's stories and people's lives are really going to be the focus of all of this.
Yeah, look, and we're going to be able to look back also at American history. We have such an incredibly rich history, which is replete with these stories of courage and compassion and kindness, where people have been able to make it through. And I think if we look back at that history, we can look back with pride and forward with confidence.
Very nice. Actionable Intelligence, debuting this coming Monday.
This coming Monday, yes, sir.
On Real America's Voice, justthenews.com network. All right, thanks, Eric. I appreciate it. All right, when we come back, the last sip. Now, we can only hope that it's not censored, because I'm going to talk about the New York Post article. So if it's not, hopefully it's not censored. If not, I'll see you later. Who knows where I am.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Welcome back to The Last Sip. All right, some analysis for you. It has to do with Twitter and conservatives and Facebook and all that stuff, that New York Post article that got censored. That's right. Here, I'm just going to, you know what, let me just hold this up. Can I just hold this up the whole time? It got censored, and Twitter's just been out of control with conservatives, quite frankly. And Ted Cruz and some senators have had enough. They're going to bring the CEO of Twitter in and subpoena him. Have a look.
The New York Post broke a second story of a series of emails that indicate yet more corruption, in this instance, the Biden family receiving millions of dollars from communist China government officials. Just minutes ago, I tried to share that story on Twitter. And Twitter is actively blocking, right now, this instant, stories from the New York Post alleging corruption and the Biden family receiving millions of dollars from communist China. This is election interference, and we are 19 days out from an election. It has no precedent in the history of democracy. The Senate Judiciary Committee wants to know what the hell is going on.
Whoa, that's a big word here. Ted Cruz, take my sign. Censored. Hello, here I am. Look, censored, New York Post, Kayleigh McEnany, Team Trump, they're all been censored. That's it. Twitter has nothing. That's what Twitter's going to do. Look, the media says the truth matters, but Joe Biden keeps repeating a major lie on Twitter. Now, has he been censored at all? No, that's been totally debunked. Here's the lie I'm talking about. Biden keeps saying that President Trump refers to neo-Nazis as some very fine people. No, he didn't. 1,000,000%. It's untrue. And yet Twitter doesn't take any of that down. They didn't censor Joe Biden at all. Ridiculous. It's still up on Twitter. Trump was talking about others in Charlottesville that were there to protest the removal of those Confederate statues. As a matter of fact, here's what he said. I want to read it to you. This is Trump speaking. I'm not going to do it in his voice, but here's what he said. You had some very bad people in that group, but you also had people that were very fine people on both sides. You had people in that group that were there to protest the taking down of, to them, a very important statue and renaming of a park. You had people, and here's what he says. I'm not talking about the neo-Nazis and the white nationalists because they should be condemned totally. But you had many people in that group other than neo-Nazis and white nationalists, okay? Anyhow, that's Trump. He has said this verbatim and millions of times, and yet, boom, Biden is never censored, even though it's up on Twitter all the time. Back in a moment. And welcome back, everybody, to the Water Cooler. All right, our last segment, the JustTheNews.com segment. So we want to get the latest from JustTheNews.com. And there's so much going on the site, but Carrie Sheffield is here with a few stories. The one story that really was interesting that you had up on the site today was red state versus blue state when it comes to COVID-19 and economically what's happening. Explain a little bit about
that. Right, exactly. So we calculated the unemployment rates for states based on who they voted for in the last four elections for president. So the states that were red states that have voted for the Republican president in the past four elections, there was an unemployment rate of just over 6%. But among the blue states, it was over 10%. So there is a big gap there. We're talking recession-level unemployment in the blue states compared to much more normal levels in the red states. And I spoke to economic experts, including Monica Crowley, who's over at the Treasury Department, as well as other folks, economic scholars. And before that, actually, in May, I had interviewed Kevin Hassett, who was President Trump's former chief economic advisor. And he said in May, I am noticing that the red states' governors are opening things up a lot sooner. I expect we're going to see that later on. Flash forward now here to October, we are seeing that indeed by looking at these numbers of unemployment that are much lower in the red states. One caveat I will put out there from an economic expert I spoke with, which is worth mentioning, is the fact that even pre-COVID, the Republican governors were doing better overall anyway. So maybe some of this is just a continuation of that.
Yeah, they would say because we're a Republican state or a Republican governor. But I'm curious about Just the News has a really interesting part of their site called Dig In. And this kind of reminds me of that Dig In portion of it because, you know, the mainstream media, you're not going to see that type of calculation, if you will, into unemployment. I mean, they're not going to do a lot of that. But doing the hard work behind the story makes a difference in terms of accuracy and truth.
Oh, absolutely. And even for this methodology in particular, we did a weighted average based on population. Because if you're just looking at the straight line Bureau of Labor Statistics, it's not going to give you enough. It's got to be adjusted slightly based on the weighting for the populations. So, yes, the type of dig-in that we pride ourselves on, that John Solomon, our editor-in-chief, always demands of us, is we put the information out there for people so they can make the decisions themselves instead of making analysis and putting claims out there that are based on our own opinion. We are just the news instead.
Speaking of Just the News AM, your new, brand new, spanking brand new show.
Yes.
You having fun?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, we have a great team. Yeah. We love having you on the show whenever you can join us.
I'll be there. If I'm not on my couch eating Doritos, I'll be there.
Or just join us from your couch in Skype.
Okay, though that might not potentially be possible. A lot of reasons for that. Thanks, Carrie.
Thanks.
Tomorrow on the show, Kirk Cameron, Google him, teen heartthrob back in tomorrow.